What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Dark Waters. I'm your host, Josh. It's Wednesday. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope everyone's had a great week so far. We all know that I had an awesome weekend. Maybe I should talk about it a little bit. Nah, I'm not going to go in big details. If you want to hear it, I was just recently on the KBN podcast or KBN Live and the stories there, so I don't feel like I need to talk more about it. But I did have a great weekend. Lake Winnipesaukee. But if I had to say anything, I'm not going to talk about the actual tournament. You can go watch the KBN segment, but I will take this time to thank, Jason Gardner, Adam Rohr, Ken Wood for putting on a great event. Not just this one, but all season. And all we got is the championship left. So, I can't thank those guys enough for doing what they've done for the Northeast. I think it was a great idea. I think it's going to be great next season, the season after that. I want it to keep going. I want it to grow because I think we need it up here. And I just love seeing all those guys, everyone, you know, all my Northeast homies. It's just awesome seeing you guys. And I had a great time, camped out, we drank some beer, did some other things. But first place finish, I feel like it's a long time coming. You know, it's weird. I still don't feel like I'm a great angler or anything. I think, I don't know. It hasn't clicked yet. No, I still think I got a lot more work to do. I got a lot more, just a lot more work in general. Not just getting better, but I want to do better at some of those national events. You know, I'm in it to win it, guys. Like, I love this sport. I love competing. And I want to see how far I can go before, you know, I put down my rod and get old. So, I'm in it. So, we'll finish this season strong and get ready for the next season. But, it was an awesome event. I can't thank everyone for the support. I can't thank – you guys are fucking awesome, man. Like, it's just a podcast. But, man, the community, the friendship that we've built here, it's not me. It's everyone that's involved with this thing. You guys have been so awesome. Like, the messages I've got, videos of people shotgunning beers for me. Dude, I can't appreciate it enough, man. You guys make this shit so much fun. And that's – at the end of the day, I think that's what it's all about. Dude, we're all in this together. We're just catching fish and trying to have a good time and enjoy – what little life we have on this planet. So I can't thank you guys enough for making this so awesome. So, but yeah, that's enough about that shit. Bunch of stuff coming up. We got lacrosse for the BOS Hobie event coming up. We got another lacrosse event for Bass Nation coming up in September. I think California's about to throw down at Clearwater, I believe. Kentucky Lake coming up, I think, with KBF. I mean, whatever. A few more events, and this season's over, man. So, let me know what you're doing. Let me know what you got left. Reach out to me. Let me know how your local events are going, your grassroots chapters or trails, all that shit. I want to hear all about it. So, but yeah, man, I really don't have anything else to really talk about. Like I said, it feels good to have a first place finish under my belt. I'm excited about the Elite Kayak Fishing Championships coming up. I'm not sure what I'm going to do as far as, like, I'm supposed to do cross. Had some things come up. Me and my wife thought it was best that I pull out of that. So we'll see. I don't know if I got any more national events coming up this year. So, I don't think I'm doing the national championship, unless I find a whole bunch of money in my back pocket or my pants when I pull them out of the dryer. But we'll see. But I mean, I got no regrets. It's been a great season so far. But anyways, I'm just fucking rambling. I need to get this thing going. Let's thank my sponsors real quick. Sticks Fishing, I'm still with them. It's still six rods. I don't care if I have 15. The concept still stands the same, you assholes. It's six rods. It'll cover all your needs, all your lures, all your techniques. Nick, the Informative Fisherman, Travis Moran, some of the coolest dudes in the fishing industry, they put these rods together to help you guys catch more fish. If you're like me, I like to keep things simple. I don't have the time to learn exactly what I need out of a chatterbait rod. Okay, I need my chatterbait rod to do all kinds of shit for me. All right, so this is what these guys have done. Their rods are amazing. They're high quality rods, and they're able to sell them so cheap because they cut up the middleman. You order from them, they're about $100 a piece, or $500 or $600, and you get a complete set. It's like a set of golf clubs. All right, you got a club for everything that you need, for everything you need to do on the golf course. Same thing with fishing. So make sure you check them out, sticksfishing.com. They got a video library of all kinds of knowledge that Travis and Nick have both put together. When you buy these rods, you're going to learn how to use them right. So if you're like me and you're still trying to figure shit out, they're going to help you learn how to use these rods. They got all these things set up for you to say like, what line tests you can use with them, what lures, all that kind of shit, and you can build from that. So check them out. Use discount code DARKWATERS. My other sponsor, Dakota Lithium. I can't thank those guys enough. They've made this season really a lot easier than what it could have been. I've been camping out with Stormy at all these different tournaments. Just me and them both been getting after it. So I love being on that team with those guys. Obviously, they make amazing batteries, the best batteries in kayak fishing, possibly the world. But we'll just keep it small for now. But check them out. X-Zone Lures, capital D, capital W, 15, yourself a discount, some badass plastics, and Rogue Fishing Company. Don't lose your shit. Discount code DARKWATERS. And that's it, guys. Have a great rest of your week. I hope you guys crush the weekend. Let me know how it goes. Reach out to me. Let me know what's going on in your lives. But that's it for this week. I don't have anything else I plan. I'll push the numbers up next week. This week, I've just been busy doing other podcasts. I think I've done two, and I still got some more I got to do. Because now I'm a winner. I'm a winner, and winner has to do these kind of things. People want to hear from the champ. So I'm just kidding. I'm still fucking figuring this thing out. But I love you guys. We'll talk again soon. Ciao. All right, Lance, welcome back to the Dark Waters. How you been?
Too bad.
It's been a while, man.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, a lot's happened.
Yeah, a little bit.
I can hear your little ones going nuts in the background. It sounds like a Wednesday night, right?
Yeah, I was wondering if any noise cancellation was going to work or if that was going to be full-on kid screaming.
It's I like it. I like it. So... Shit, man, like I said, it's been a while. You've done a lot. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while, but just couldn't make it happen. But I wanted to get you back on the show, have a little bit of season recap. I know your year started off pretty good. I went and looked through all your ranking or stuff on Tourney X. I'm like, man, he's been busy this year. I don't know. What have you been up to, I guess?
I feel like I haven't ran as many tournaments as I did last year, but I guess maybe I kind of have. I've ran a lot of just kind of – a lot of local stuff. I kind of hopped into the All-American League or series this year just to try it out since it did have an AOI available. Mm-hmm. And I haven't fished as many bass events as I did last year. But after kind of doing what I did in Lake Fork, I kind of felt okay. Last year I fished as many as I did just because I didn't feel like I was going to hit what I needed to qualify for the championship. And then that went better than I thought also, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
So what's the All-American? Which one is that? Because is that the one that Booth Josh runs? Booth. Yeah.
Yeah, so they've actually got one this weekend. I planned on fishing it, but work got in the way of my fishing, so I had to bow out of that one and just plan on for Truman for the following one.
Yeah. So back to like the All-American, like what is that all? Because that was a pretty big one that came out last year. I should have had Booth on here this year. I don't know why I didn't. Because last year it kind of started, I guess, or got big, and he had that one big event, the classic that he had. Where does that most of that take place at, man? Like as far as like the bodies of water covering which states, shit like that.
Wisconsin. I've got one in South Dakota, Iowa. Few Missouri, I think they had one. Well, they had one down in Arkansas. That's mainly most of them right there, kind of hitting just kind of central.
Yeah. What about South Dakota? Who the hell fishes there?
I don't know. Well, it's not me.
that's a weird one. I don't hear much about South Dakota, and that's one of those areas that's really far away from everyone. I feel like.
Yeah, they're trying to hit some of the northern guys up there. So for like AOI, because it's your best three out of everything.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to make it where your best three are the northern guys compete with the southern guys. And so there's a couple in Oklahoma. But yeah, they're, I guess it was on Kansas. So pretty much at all the central states.
Yeah.
I missed a few of the ones that I wanted to fish, but just I'm sitting all right in AOI. So
yeah,
hopefully for now, we'll see what happens after this one.
Yeah. I mean, I love the idea of about it though, because you know, a lot of those areas, a lot of those states have a hard time making it anywhere else to do all the other tournaments, you know, across the country, you know, everything being either like a East Coast, Northeast, Southeast. People forget about that Midwest area that doesn't really have much, like the people in Kansas and stuff like that. So it's nice that they have like a trail series that can get big and give them the opportunities to do this thing.
Yeah, I mean, for its first year, it's drawing some decent numbers. They've usually been averaging anywhere between 60 and 80.
That's good. And
for just knowing about it after the championship last year. So that's why I kind of jumped into it and kind of helped them get it kicked off and helped to draw some bigger numbers. But it's got a pretty good payout for no more people been in it.
Yeah, I think it's because you know, we're up here in New York or the Northeast, and we got the Elite Kayak Fishing that's been doing really good. That's where I've been fishing it a lot this year. And, you know, it's nice to get, like, you know, fourth place check of, like, $1,000, you know what I mean? Like, for yeah. a smaller trail series. I mean, it's something to get motivated about.
Yeah. Yeah, you can fish and not have to be worried about having to win it just to get something decent back. And
yeah,
just being able to have that many people in it. They don't see it as a small tournament. So like even sponsors and stuff like that, they can see the numbers of you placed pretty high up. And I mean, anything I consider 50 people and more is a decent sized tournament. And you got some pretty stiff competition at that point.
Yes. Well, especially when you think about like areas like that, you know, the Northeast, our series up here, we were doing like 70 to like almost 100 at one point. I'm like, that's pretty good for just a regional event. And you know, and when you think about the people who are fishing these, a lot of people don't want to make the drive to go all the way down south to fish a Hobie event or something like that. So it's nice to have something that's that in between of like, you know, a local tournament and a big tournament where like people can cut their teeth, people can get more comfortable doing like little travel. You know, there's a difference between traveling like 4 hours and like 15 hours to La Crosse or some shit like that. You know what I mean? It's nice to have something that has like some bigger stakes. Give you some notoriety, you know. If you do well these things, people are going to recognize you because everyone's watching. What they're doing with American and up here of the Elite, like people are watching. Like somehow I made it on the KBN just for fishing a regional event. So I think there's a lot of eyes on stuff like that. I know California's got their things out there. So I like most of the trail series or the big trail series are like doing things like that because for one, I think it helps those big trails out. They like, well, maybe we will go up to the Northeast and have a tournament up there, or maybe we will go there because it looks like you guys are being proactive and and building something like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's pretty good sport building.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of opening eyes everywhere.
Yeah. So, well, what about your bass event you did? Like, I've been wanting to talk to you ever since I seen you put it in your passenger seat with a seatbelt on it.
Yeah.
Just, what was that all about?
So that was I've always kind of seen that, seen some of the pros and stuff just throw in their passenger seat. And I was like, I would do something, anything decent, one of these bigger tournaments. I'm going to go strap it in, give it a good ride home.
Yeah.
And I think if I would have had another 30 minutes left in that tournament, I needed a 3/4 inch to take the win.
Which one was that?
Lake Fork.
Was it Lake Fork? Okay. So that was before Possum Kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Lake Fork, man, that's a bucket list, man. Like, it's tournaments there every year. It's talked about. It's highly chased after. So I mean, I get a third place at a finish like that. Not only that, dude, but there's a lot of people go to Texas for these big events out there because it's something about those Texas bass that everyone that brings people in there. So I mean, third place is a pretty good finish. But what do you think about the whole event? Like, what do you think about bass right now? Are you happy with like the directions and everything that's going right now?
Yeah. Yeah, they're building it up and they're promoting it. So I mean, the way they're putting it out on the website and the magazine, I think they're doing it right. And I think next year, I kind of curious to see if they change anything, if they do add any kind of angle of the year status or some kind of competition. I think they could get more people if they wanted to chase that.
Yeah.
I think they'd have more participation in the later events.
Yeah. Well, I think the end of the year, I'm not a huge fan of the things that I think is it brings people to the tournaments. Cause if you qualify for the big event in one tournament, like, do you really want to go back and spend all the money unless there's something else that's like really, you know what I mean? Like anger of the year. Cause we're all in it for checks and notoriety and big trophies. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the anger of the year, I'm really surprised that Bass didn't do that. That is kind of like that's like everyone right there, like battling for that top 10 position with the BOS. I mean, that's a tight competition right now, but that's what keeps those guys traveling across the country to go do those huge events.
Yeah. I think if they want to grow it anymore, they're going to have to do that because people are going to start looking at other series. So that's the reason why I've only fished one so far, and I'm going to fish the lacrosse one here next month. Just cause I like fishing up there. It just kind of fits my style, but I wanted to fish Eufaula and Pickwick, but they kind of crossed with a bunch of other stuff. It got to be where when you got 4 weekends in a row of tournaments and like 2 or 3 of them are traveling.
Yeah.
And you have a family, it kind of makes it tough to.
Yeah. Well, I had to make a tough call this month because I've been traveling so much. Like I really wanted to go to lacrosse, you know, and try to get it, you know, at least get my third, my third Hobie, you know, so I can put my name up there and maybe try to make it to DOC. But dude, like when you got kids and like you travel back to back weekends, that's a dent in the bank account. And then all of that, that's a lot of time you got to make up. And so it's just like, I'm going to cut that one out this year. I need it. Cause I mean, like when you give up weekends to tournaments, that's it. You know, and you got to try to get that time back one way. So if you're just constantly traveling all the time, especially when your kids are young and you're missing out on all that important shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah, it makes it a little bit harder. I think it'd be nice if when they get just a little bit bigger, they can kind of do some travel and make some vacations through the summertime. I'll probably hit more of the summertime stuff, but it's hard in the spring because everybody wants to hit the right spawn and stuff on the right tournament. But you have, if you want to try different trails, you've got so many different trails trying not to hit the same day. So, I mean, you book a month up easy.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how some of those people do. I mean, I do know how some of them do it because they don't have a shit ton of responsibilities like we do. Mm-hmm. But, like, me is like, dude, there's no way I'm going to try to do all 3 trail series. There's no way. But I do want to travel some. So, you know, it's like I got to be very – like, next year, I'm already trying to figure out how I'm going to do it next year because, I mean, I love traveling. I love doing these tournaments. And I love competition, but I kind of like – I want to focus heavy on something so I can try to get Angler of the Year points or try to qualify for some sort of championship or something like that. So next year, I don't think I'm going to be as busy, and I'm going to be kind of more like singling in on something that, you know, I think is worth chasing, which will probably be like the Hobie BOS, but I don't want to close anything out next until I start seeing schedules. Cause I think they all had great schedules this year.
Yeah. I'd like to try a few of the Hobie events. Next year is going to be a little more possible since I'll have, well, it depends on when I get the hole. But if I can get the new Bonafide in soon enough, I'm going to try to hit a couple of the Hobie just to get in there and just see what I can do with it and try to work on the hit the BOS or hit the other championship.
Yeah. So you hadn't even had a – well, you've been using a motor a lot, though, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll still have a motor on that one, so it'll be kind of a pedal and power, but – I like steering with my feet, and I think the way they got it laid out that I'll still be able to do foot steering and be able to pedal and just switch back and forth one or the other. So we'll kind of see how that.
Have you played with the new Bonafide or anything like that yet?
No, I've only seen pictures. So the only one that's been available to look at is down at ICAST, and they're still working on it, getting the water ready. I think they're still finalizing a few things on it. So whenever it's available in October to order, then we'll start to see some come out. I'm hoping I can get mine fairly quick. So I know I got a lot of people that are asking to see it and want to try it out before they get one. So I'm hoping I can get a hold of it and do demos pretty much. Cause I know we'll be doing a lot of that.
Yeah. So, Bonafide made like, as far as like a kayak that didn't have pedals or anything like that, I think Bonafide had to be like one of the best pedal kayaks ever. I mean, it's a really great platform. I really like almost got the Bonafide, but obviously I love my pedals. But it's cool to see them actually getting a pedal drive. I wonder, you know, like what big of a difference that's going to make, especially for the bona fide teams. When you see all these bona fide Warriors and stuff, you know, with their pedals and their motor. Now you're going to start seeing more with the pedal drives. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like being able to switch out from one or the other, because it might be some days like I want exercise. I don't know when it is, but some days I want one too.
I say that. That's one of the reasons why I haven't invested in the motor yet, because I'm like, I get a lot of good exercising with the pedal drive. Like, I mean, it's, you know, 3, 4, 5 miles every time I go fishing, sometimes more. I mean, you know, plus, you know, pedaling into current and things like that. Like, you know, whenever I come back home from a tournament, like, dude, like my glutes and my legs, like they're sore for days after these big tournaments, man. You know, 3, 4 days on just pedaling 8 hours a day. I gotta be burning calories. I have to be losing weight.
Yeah. Yeah, I could probably use it. It's kind of have a superstition thing, bringing back a bag of powdered donuts with me wherever I go on a tournament. If they taste good, I'm gonna do good. But they don't taste so good, it's gonna be a bad tournament.
Yeah, you gotta have that one thing. Like mine is Swedish fish. I gotta have Swedish fish on the you know what I mean? It's like, 'cause there'll be like those moments where like shit hits the fan and I can't catch a fish in 3 hours, and I'll be somewhere over in the corner of the lake crying. I'll just be stuffing Swedish fish in my jaw, you know, just trying to make myself feel better, you know?
Yeah. And then fish start biting. It's amazing what happens.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. I'm trying to figure out things to talk about. Now that I know you're doing lacrosse, have you fished lacrosse yet?
Yeah, we had the All-American was up there end of July, I think, or end of June. One of those, somewhere around June, July. Wasn't too long ago. Fished up there and got third in it. They had 60-something people maybe, or 53, somewhere around there, about 60 people or so. But the water is a lot lower than it was last year. So everything is completely different. So it's just like a scouted out, so you just stumbled across something weird.
Right. Well, let's talk about lacrosse a little bit, because I was planning for lacrosse, you know, because I was going to do the Hobie event up there. I'm probably not doing it now, but I did a lot of map studies, and is that a confusing body of water? It's like a river. Well, it is a river. It's part of the Mississippi River, but it's got like, I don't know how many different lakes that are connected to the river that I looked at. And I'm trying to figure out what this all is, and it's a lot of back. I guess we just call it backwaters. Yeah. That lead into like these crazy ponds or wherever they're called lakes. I mean, there was one lake like on Onalaska Lake or something I was looking at, things like that. But you got a variety of places and ways to fish, and then not to only mention that, like, I mean, you still have the river portion of it, which, you know, I imagine, you know, offers, you know, a current and things like that. But what's your thoughts on lacrosse and how to break something like that down?
So first time I went up there last year, it was a lot of water to break down. And first time going up, not really knowing how to do it.
Yeah.
I like to cover everything, and then whatever sucked the most was gone. So I just kind of broke it down that way. But I couldn't cover the amount of water that was up there. I mean, three different pools.
Yeah.
I think I covered two pools, and I wanted to fish a third one, but just ran out of time. And so pretty much broke down, find a pool that fishes the way you like to fish, because you can fish any way you want to. And you want to fish current for smallmouth, you go target the current. You want to fish pads with a frog, or you want to go find some largemouth, or go find current running through pads. Anywhere you go, you can find a happy medium. And so pretty much you fish with strength up there. And that's kind of what I found works for me is, I'm a power fish. I don't do any finesse fishing. And it just, you can find however you want to do it. But there are some guys that were drop shotting and throwing little 2 and 3 inch minnows around. I thought they were crappie fishing, but they were catching bass.
Yeah, like I said, like there's like just so much. That was like one of the things I was having a hard time deciding. Like if I was going to go, like, you only get 2 days of pre-fish, and you got to do it right. Because, I mean, like, it's like you said, there's a lot of water that can be covered. But, you know, when you look at a map, there's a lot of things you can look at and find out, like, well, these are my kind of strengths. These are kind of the areas that, you know, I usually excel at. And so, I don't know. A lot of it would be like most of the water was already eliminated to me, because I don't know shit about fishing currents or moving water like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's – as overwhelming as it was, it's like there was still like some hope, because you could see things that there was just so much to look at. You could find things that kind of fit your style of fishing. Now, I don't know what that would be like when you get there, because I know what I've learned most of my traveling ventures is that if something looks good and it's in a different state or a different area, it's probably not going to be good for you because it just fishes differently or something like that. This past time I had this past weekend, all I wanted to – like I saw area. All I wanted to do was flip grass and throw the frog, and they're just – for whatever reason, that is a deeper water fishery, and that's what you have to do out there. Like, you can throw the frog and flip grass all you want, but you're going to be wasting a lot of time fishing dead water or something. But now you got to get out there and go fish offshore or find deep rock piles. That's kind of like what I had to do. I had to like fish outside my strength, because a lot of times lakes will let you know like how to fish them if you're listening.
Yeah. Last time we were up there, it was pretty much, if you found a spot, you found a school. I sat in one spot, power pulled down in current. The water dropped down underneath these lily pads, dropped in about a 7-foot hole. And I sat there for probably an hour, not moving, just fan casting with a frog. And by the time you got done fan casting to the right, go back to the left, and you catch them again. Yeah. And I was upgrading like quarter inch at a time. And then this time I went up there, the water was down. I covered 14 or... about 14 and a half miles of water just fishing. And that, my arm was so sore by the time I got done. Because when you're steering with your feet and the motor's doing all the work, you make so many more casts of just, you just can't not stop casting pretty much up there.
Yeah. Well, now that you're going back there, like, does anything, because this is something I've been thinking about a lot too. Like, when I think about like why people are successful so much, and then you look at the records and you find out how many times they've had tournaments in those bodies of water, you realize that there's a reason why like the best are doing so well. It's not just because their technique and their skill level, but it's also because they got a lot of time on these bodies of water. You know what I mean? And that's just something that's just you got to take advantage of. You know, if you fish, you know, 5 to 10 tournaments at Kentucky Lake, you know something about that lake now, and you've probably cleared a lot. You know, covered a lot of water over the years fishing it, so you kind of got an idea of like where to start or where you would like to start and things like that. Like, what do you think about like going back to the same, because I'm going back to Champlain next month, and I was talking about the same thing. It's like, you know, all fishing really is just building on to what you already know one way or another. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, because now that I'm starting to fish these tournaments over and over again, I kind of already know, like, well, I'm not going there again. And you know, but you also got to think about the other variables of like, you know, what time of the year it is. You know, obviously something like a lacrosse, you probably got to think about water levels a little bit more than a place like Champlain and things like that. Does anything change for you as far as like how you're going to approach something like lacrosse going back into it?
I'm hoping the water came up, but I don't think it will. But as far as that, I know last year we hit it at the end of September, I believe, for the bass event. And this one's earlier. They're eating frogs more. This year, they weren't as much. I know the guy that got first or second said he caught them on frogs, but I mean, the two people that beat me were locals, and I kind of figured if I got beat, it'd be by somebody that fishes there all the time or has a lot more access to it.
Right.
So they kind of know how it fishes during that time of the year. But I'm going to go up and kind of put what I found this year together and last year with the timeline and kind of break it down two different ways. So it's going to be two completely different styles of fishing, but I'm going to just find out kind of what they want at that time. Of course, it could be raining. It could be, we could have a flood happen right before then.
Right.
You don't know if the Mississippi River was going to happen with it.
Yeah. Especially river systems, right? Cause it's all dictated like how much rain's coming in from everything up north all the way down.
Yeah.
I go up there. Like one of the things that when I look at like lacrosse, like, I always think, because I've been wanting to fish here for like 2 years now, because they always have tournaments there, usually around August, maybe September. I want to throw a frog. I do. That's all I want to do is throw frogs there. But like, one of the problems I have with frogs during tournaments is that's a big gamble. You know, like finding a frog bite and being committed to the frog bite. I mean, it's something that I haven't, I guess, gotten the confidence or – and I love throwing the frog. I throw the frog for leisure fishing all the time, but tournament fishing, man, it just seems like there's a lot of dead time in between catching fish, it seems like.
Yeah, you gotta get the up there with all the current stuff. I kind of feel like you can find a spot and you can hit them hard, mm-hmm. or you can go, well, like you're saying, a long time without it. Pretty much bring lots of excess frogs because the pike like to eat them. as well.
Yeah.
And I've gone through, I think I went through like 3 jackhammers while I was up there just practicing.
Ugh, that sucks.
But, yeah, there's nothing you can do about them. They like everything else like a bass does.
You know what's funny? Like this past tournament, I actually – the area I was fishing, was like, it's just loaded with pickerel, and they actually like dictated like where I was going to fish. Like I quit fishing that area because like I kept catching the pickerel. You ever had that issue where it's like the pike or the pickerel just so good that you have to just like just give up that area? Like I'm done fucking around this grass. I'm gonna move somewhere where you're not gonna be. I mean, I've been that upset with those things, like where I literally leave my spot to go fish somewhere else.
Yeah, I've gotten where up there. I mean, that's definitely the place I really run into them. Everywhere else has been not near as populated as they are up there, but. I feel if I get into a spot that's just fully loaded, full of pike, I can move over just a little bit and kind of get out of what they're in. And you start kind of, there's kind of a half medium between the bass and the pike and where kind of what they like to mesh with.
Yeah.
But yeah, they like the dead water.
Right. So you'll go back. So when you go back to La Crosse, like it's going to be like bass is there in September, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what's the weather going to be like up there around that time? Is it going to start cooling down or is it going to start being like summer patterns?
Last year, man, it's only, I've only ever fished up there once before this year was at that time. And I feel like it was still, I know I was still in shorts. So it was sunny. It was when the wind wasn't blowing, it was hot. So I'm going to say you're still looking at probably 70, 80.
Pretty good. Okay. So summer pattern for us up in the north, yeah. So what do you like? What are some of the things you do like tournament wise? Like one of the things that I've had to like figure out is like, you know, managing time is like a very important thing of tournament fishing. You know what I mean? Like you only have 8 hours to pull it off. No matter how hard the fishing is, you got to figure it out. You know, to be successful, like when a fishing gets tough because of like summer patterns, and that's that was. That was me this past weekend. Like it was, I fished the summer pattern. It took me like 8 hours to catch 5 fish. That was just the way it is. But what are some of the things that you do when it gets to like those summer patterns? Like when you're out there, the fishing, some of the things that you know, you try to find success in.
If I know the fishing's well in pre-fishing, if the fishing is tough, I'll look for straight quantity at that point. And then from there, like in pre-fishing, I'll hit a bunch of different places. Just kind of have an idea of this place has quantity, this place has quality. If I get my 5 and I want to go look for something bigger, I'll haul out and I'll go drop in somewhere else. But then I kind of look at travel time too. Is it going to be worth it? Can I get there by water? It's all kind of really depends on how the pre-fishing goes of where I'm going to be. Or if I'm going to take the time of pulling out and loading and unload.
Right. And so, like, one of the things, like, that was a good point. So you said, like, quality and quantity. Mm-hmm. Something I learned a lot about this weekend. And I want to say it was a complete accident of what I, you know, like me finding the quality fish I felt like. But it made me think a lot about, like, because, you know, you got the people or you got situations where you'll want to, where you will go find, like the quantity of fish. You'll get offshore and you might find 20, 30 fish in that day, but none are above 16 inches. Mm-hmm. And on some days that could be great. You know what I mean? A limit might get you in the money. But however, I feel like it's a person who's able to find the quality fish that ends up winning that tournament. And obviously, that's an obvious no-brainer, right? I mean, if you can find better quality fish, it will always beat quantity if you're able to do that. Mm-hmm. But like figuring out how to do that, like the confidence to go out there and find that pattern or find that, whatever it's going to be. Like me, I threw enough and I just happened to be able to catch 5 fish that were bigger than everyone else's fish. I don't really have like a way to tell you how I did it. When I do figure that shit out, like how I accidentally did it, I'm sure my future tournaments will be better. But you know, like, how do you figure out like when you're going out there, like when you want to shift and really go for like the quality fish? Compared to you're just trying to do well in a tournament and you know try to win the tournament. Like I mean, is it just something you just I don't know. How would you go about like trying to figure out like if you want the quality or the quantity bite?
So if you kind of notice, I don't have a lot of wins.
Right.
Everything's a lot of second, third, fourth. So there's kind of a gambling to a point. I feel more cast you make, better odds you're going to run into something big. But you got to put your place or put yourself in position to do that. And it always comes down in the pre-fishing that like if I find a place got quantity, but I caught a random big fish here and there, I mean, I'm going to spend the whole day there and I'm just going to just whale that whatever it is all day long. But if I don't catch a certain size of fish and I know there's something bigger out there somewhere, then I always keep that quantity back there in my mind of if I don't feel like I can get five of those big fish in one spot, I'll just shoot for the best. And I mean, I'll know I'll find something eventually, but if I just need one big one, if I had enough time, I may haul off to that one place and just go look for a big fish.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it kind of just feels like how the day turns out. Like, I mean, obviously if you wake up in the morning and you get five just decent fish, that changed the way the rest of your day is going to be, right? Because at that point you had that limit and now you can kind of start focusing on trying to find big bites. And so you kind of be a little bit more, you can be a little more, you can pick your spots better now at this point, cause you already had that, that feeling of like, huh, I got five fish, you know?
Yeah. Pretty much after that, it comes down to bait selection. I've got a few baits that I know produce bigger fish. They can be the exact same bait somebody else is throwing, but I know it makes a different noise or it's got a different profile or just even certain colors I found have produced some bigger fish, and I kind of keep them to where they're always there to be. I mean, I can switch it just any second and be throwing it and feel like this is a bigger quality fish area.
Yeah.
But I mean, it will come probably down to bait selection at that point.
Yeah. Now, do you ever find like do you have like a process? Like, you know what I mean? Like when you're trying to decide, like, you know, like obviously you're more of it, you like to fish fast. Do you have like a process of what you go through? Like, okay, I'm going to fish like this. And then if I can't get anything, I'll slow it down. And then I'm going to go, you know, you have like a process of going down, like of trying to find these bigger fish. You know what I mean? Like they're not hitting this. So I'm going to go this. You know, like I think one of the things that I've learned this year was like, start with a chatterbait, move to the swim jig. Then from there, we're going to start throwing a little bit of finesse. And the next thing you know, I'm fishing a Ned rig for hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I probably start at the top of the water column in the beginning of the day. And as I get farther along in the day, if they're not biting the top, I start going deep.
Yeah.
I always tend to find a bigger fish deep throughout the day, whether it's sun or cloudy or something like that. But it's just, to me, kind of a water column type thing.
A water column thing. And that makes sense. I don't know why I didn't think about that either. Like start top and then just work your way down until you eventually end up deep throwing a Ned rig. I don't know why I skipped those steps.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of process going in your head after a while. It's just kind of, you have your certain baits. Like I can just stage them out there in front of me and I'll start out with five different rods, five different lures. And just as I go, narrow them down. But then throughout the day, they're going to be coming back around. And,
yeah.
But yeah, you always get your favorite baits.
Yeah. I mean, do you have is that kind of like how you pick water apart? You know, like when you decide where you're going to fish on game day, and you start going to your A spot or B spot, do you sit there and you go through that process of, you know, of whatever baits, rods, of going like top water all the way back until you go deep, and then you realize that you need to move? Is that kind of how that, like, what makes you, helps you decide what you're going to, like, when you're going to move, if you're going to move?
Yeah, if I have to fish something I'm not comfortable with, I don't have confidence in, then I'm gone. I'm going somewhere else. Somewhere at some point they're biting what I'm throwing. You got to find out where it's at. Now, I'm not going to just get locked into one lure all day long and just die with it. So I'll hopefully find something that they're going to switch over to. But yeah, it just comes down to just kind of timing. And I mean, watching the weather is a big one. What it's going to do throughout the day, of watching hour by hour. If I know the sun's going to pop out at noon, I'll hold off. And I may say, well, river's going to turn on here about noon because the sun's going to pop out. I mean, you're looking at tons of different things all at the same time.
So you're actively checking these things out throughout the day, like as far as like what the sun's going to do, what the wind's going to. I mean, that's something I need to get better at, I think. You know what I mean? Like preparing. You know, like I think I always fish the moment. It's something that I think kind of hurts me along a lot of times. You know, I wake up, I look at what the weather's supposed to be like tomorrow. I wake up And it's like my whole day's already planned. You know what I mean? I have my three spots picked out. Mm-hmm. And which I think kind of screws me sometimes. I don't make good decisions later on through the day when things change. You know what I mean? Like, I am one of those guys who will pick a lure and die with that lure. And that's don't wrong. I've had some success with that shit this year. Yeah. But I think it's because if you throw something long enough, you're bound to catch something with it. And whatever. I think there's also some luck in this. But you're like really like, I guess like kind of like progressing with the day instead of just constantly just fishing the moment. Because I think I think a lot of times I'm just out there. At some point, I'm just mindlessly just throwing it. There's no real strategy. Like, I woke up with a good plan. I had a lot of strategy going into this plan. But at some point, it's just because I wasn't adapting to something, whatever changes or just being productive throughout the day, like trying to figure out, okay, well, now the sun's doing this. It's probably best we move to this spot now. I think a lot of that's been biting me in the ass this year. I think that's next year that's going to be kind of a game changer for me if I can figure, like, some of those little key things out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fishing history, that's one thing I've kind of got. You win a tournament one spot, you want to go back there, you feel like they're going to be there, and if you fish long enough, it's going to happen again.
Right.
Just everything's so different every time you go out that you may get lucky and it happens again, but fishing history is – that's killed me a couple times. This past weekend kind of got me because I had hopes of it, but I didn't do what I normally did and decided to get up and bail, but – I died with my water.
Yeah, so it could be the lure, or it could be the same spot, or the water you picked. But I mean, like, you got to be adaptable. I guess is like the name of the game, like being able to know or feel to know like when you need to move, or knowing what baits you need to change. If we had that shit figured out, we'd probably have a lot more number ones by our names and when we look at our history list, you know.
Yeah, you can pin down just some of the key fish, or just knowing where you're going to go find one big one somewhere, just going to put you over the top. There's a few people that know that, and they just take some more practice and fish in more water pretty much.
Yeah. 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 That's a really good point. Now, what do you like? Let's just talk about like a really, really shitty day. Like when you look at the rankings and no one's crushing them, what are you going to do at that point? Like, cause that is when I grab the Ned rig and I'm like, two or three spots, and like I will just do a crazy ass rotation between those spots, because at that point I probably have no idea what to do anyway, so I become like a whatever, like this is the best I got, this is me in panic mode or whatever. You know, what do you start doing when it's really, really tough to kind of try to find, I guess at that point, quantity is more important than quality at this point?
Fish the weird stuff,
the
stuff you wouldn't normally fish. Like, if I know they're not biting where I'm normally fishing, and I'm looking, like, this time of year, throw a square bill, throw something shad-related around here, and if they're not biting that, and I see nobody else really catching it, I'm going to go find something else. I'm going to go throw something crawdad-related, just something out of the blue, just kind of wing it at that point, and just go back into pre-fish mode, even though you're in the middle of the tournament, and what was working is not working. You pretty much have to go back and try to figure things out again.
Yeah. I mean, those A, B, and C spots. I mean, like knowing when to bounce from one to another, I think is a tough thing to really. Well, not as tough, but I think it takes a lot of experience to be able to know when to make those kind of decisions of when to like leave an area of comfort for whatever reason that why it became comfortable. Maybe it's because of pre-fishing, or it has something that you're more prone to go to. It's I think that's like kind of what separates decent anglers from like really great anglers is the ability to make those kind of hard decisions and to do weird things like fish weird spots that most people aren't fishing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to do, hard to leave fish, go find fish. But if your fish are gone and you're all out in desperation mode,
there's
1 hour left to fish. And if you're going to unload and load back in and you've burned all that time, you got to be pretty confident where you're going is going to put up something or desperate, either one.
But, you know, it makes sense. Like now that we're talking about it, when I think about like when I had my success this past weekend, the reason I was able to find like the last two winning fish is because I made like this weird choice to go fish this spot that I didn't want to fish. I mean, I fished there before. I knew it had rocks, and I knew and I caught a few smallmouth there. I'm like, well, it was that spot because I kept fishing these spots that were somewhat doing decent for me. And then I made like this. This out of nowhere decision to go to fish that spot, and it ended up being
a really, really good spot that I think I was very lucky to have. I don't think any, like a lot of people had that kind of spot that I had. They was able to have rocks, grass. That was, you know, that was kind of had a whole bunch of smallmouth and largemouth just sitting up in there. And I think it was just like, it's kind of like what you said, like, I'm going to go fish something that no one's fishing right now. And that's kind of what I did. And I didn't do it like on purpose, but now that I'm looking back on it, it's probably a really good decision that I made that I probably need to put in my toolbox for like next time that I go out there and do these tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Dad, just go find fresh water. Fish something you never fished before. It makes you go back into pre-fishing and thinking about something because you're not fishing in history. I wasn't here 2 days ago, and
right,
this is where I caught one, and then I didn't catch one there. Mm-hmm. You can go into fresh water and go, well, this could be good over here. I'm going to start putting the puzzle back together, and all of a sudden you find your fish again that you didn't find before.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good point. So besides lacrosse, what's the rest of your season looking like?
I've got basically finishing off the MOIAC event, which is our local series here.
Yeah.
So we got lacrosse. Truman's the All-American. So we'll have the the All-American stop, and then they'll have the All-American Classic 2 weeks later on Truman again. So basically the same, like almost like getting pre-fishing it, fishing a tournament beforehand. But then, of course, you got the national championship. We got our Missouri State Championship, pretty much October, November, just championships, just kind of booking up at that point.
No, and if there's a river event, you're actually be more busy than
a couple of weeks, right?
All right. Are you there?
Going to be busy of away thing.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I got a little glitch in my screen. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you are going back to the national championship?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can do anything good. So far, my two-day events have kind of sucked. I find a way to blow it on day one, and then I find a way to do good on day two, but it's already been blown. So I'm going to find a way to not suck on day one and hopefully feel better on day two.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so October, September's gonna be busy. Then that's it, though. The season's coming to an end.
Yeah. We actually have a winter series. MOIAC kind of put up a winter series, about one tournament a month. If I get bored inside, I need the itch, I might get out there and hit a couple of them just to get on the water. But so we never freeze over solid or anything, so we're good to run year-round.
Oh, that's cool. Like, yeah, we don't have that opportunity. Come December, we're ice fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll skim over here and there. Last year, I guess it did freeze over solid for a couple weeks, so it dropped down in the 20s for highs for a while, but that's pretty cold for us.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I really just want to check in on you, catch up. I think I haven't talked to you last season. I've been wanting to talk to you since the third place finish, but whatever, you know, like things just keep moving in this sport. You know, if you don't catch someone in the right moment, then it's something else happens, and you got to cover that. So, but you know, I just wanted to catch up, man. Seems like you're having a pretty good year. Good luck at lacrosse, man. That's a bucket list for me. Obviously, it's your, you know, it's important to you. So, hoping for the best. But is there anyone you want to thank or anything like that before that makes fishing easier for you? Before we wrap this up,
definitely Bonafide. So they're probably my biggest thing that gets me top of the leaderboard, just being able to have mobility on there. Kistler Rods, my family basically allowing me to be able to do this and get around and spend the time out on the water. But yeah, it's just trying to stay busy. But yeah, doing that, that's, I'm sure there's somebody I'm forgetting, but top of my head, that's running to a blank.
Yeah. All right, man. I think that's it, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. Like I said, good luck with everything coming up, but we'll talk again soon.
Yeah. Yeah, good talking to you.
All right, man. Well, have a good night, and we'll chat soon.
All right. Thanks. See you.